Hello. Okay. Hi, good morning everyone. My name is Yvain. So welcome to EMP today. So let's bow ahead and pray first. Okay. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. We just welcome your presence to come to the sanctuary and also to everyone's heart. And we ask that you speak to us this morning and we dedicate this time to you. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, so today we're going to go through the journey book on page 104. So would you, if you had the book, can turn with me to page 104. So it's about how do we respond. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid out for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barns, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so, small things as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of this. But if God is so clothed the grass on the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for this is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, and unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is from Luke 12, 13 to 34. So let's also move on to the devotion. God has a plan and moves in our lives, and yet our actions, for good and for bad, have an impact on what happens to us and others. Therefore, at least some of life is made up of a combination of what we have to work with and what we do with those resources and opportunities. This passage from Luke reminds us that God knows and cares what we do and what happens to us. Would it be too much to invite us all to repeat that simply profound truth in the first person, say 10 times, "God knows and cares what happens to me"? Because this is true, be very careful what you do and what you want, especially because you may get it and still remain unhappy. True happiness is never measured in what we have, but is a byproduct of trusting God to give us what we need. So actually, when I was reading this passage, I think what strikes me is the most is the conclusion, "For your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think really hits home on what Jesus wants to teach on this passage. I think it's talking about the right motivation to possess things, like the possessions. And first of all, we need to know that everything we have or what we possess right now really comes directly from the grace of God. Like, even my name doesn't belong to me. There can be like thousands of events out there, you know? But He still creates us in our uniqueness, and everything that we have right now, it's really from Him. And I think here Jesus is challenging about people about their motivations. So why do we hold on to the things that we possess? So the first person that came to Jesus in verse 13, he said, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I think this line is kind of like irresponsible. Like, he's saying like, "Will you tell him to give me?" And I think inheritance doesn't cost this person anything, because inheritance is like come directly from ancestor or parents, and this person still desires for it. So there's a kind of greed in, like, he's craving for it. And Jesus said, "Do you think I come to be a judge to determine how much money you will get?" It's not about how much money you will get. It's about your heart. It's about the greed that you have inside of your heart. And Jesus said, "Watch out and be on guard against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in an abundance of possessions, but it consists in an abundance of Jesus," right? So maybe we can ask ourselves this question. Are we motivated to possess things because we have this desire for wealth, or do we crave for the possession someone has? For greed, this word also means that you crave or you want something that somebody has, that which you don't have, which that has a mentality about thinking about what others have actually is better than mine. So in Colossians 3:5, it says this: "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." So God calls greed idolatry. And also in the Ten Commandments, God also say, "Thou shalt not covet." So you shouldn't desire what your neighbor has, right? And I think greed is not just about the desire for money. We can also extend this to the desire to, like, get what others have, to get pleasure, to have that something to secure ourselves, make ourselves feel better. And I think at the end of the day, people was just wanted to be happy because they think others have better stuff, and were just fooled by that fact that this is actually temporary pleasure and it wouldn't last forever. But as we can see right now, greed has actually subtly, maybe not subtly, like obviously changed the culture of the society. And every one of us here, even Christians, we can't run away from it, because it's all around us. I was sitting down yesterday and I was watching a TV, and I was watching all this commercial TV, the advertisement, right? And I saw, like, I just noticed, because I was meditating on this passage, and I just noticed, like, everything in the commercial the clips, it's like, the product itself doesn't really appear for a long time, but instead they really build up with a like beautiful story, like for example a ring, right? And then they will just build up with like one beautiful lady and one handsome guy, and then they have something, la la la. They have this history and la la la, and then at the end this ring brought them back together, and then people will be like, "Oh, I want some of that. If I have that ring, maybe that will happen to me too." But it's just something that deceives us, you know? Like, maybe there are a lot of people, they have a wrong understanding about this because you want something like that doesn't mean that it will happen to the same to you. But obviously, the products or, you know, like people just use the mentality of the people and just do that to us. So I think this thing are not the answer to be loved or to be happy, but God is. And then Jesus move on in verse 16, talk about a parable about a farmer who had an abundant harvest in the ground. And this farmer actually had a harvest, but he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build a bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years, so take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And notice the use of the personal pronouns here. He had an eye trouble. So he's talking about I and my, these two words, for 12 times in this passage. So it doesn't mean that it's wrong to use that, but it's just this man who really live for only the moment. He actually does not take God into account in his life. And here Jesus actually warns us about possessing out of selfishness. So the first one is out of greed. Second one is selfishness. It's interesting how in this parable, Jesus actually used a farmer as an example. Because farmer, this occupation, really, really needs God's blessings to harvest stuff, you know, in order to get something to eat. And I remember watching a movie named The Faith Like Potatoes. It is a true story about a farmer who came to Christ, and with his faith, God blessed him to harvest potatoes from dry dust in the drought season. And in Genesis, we see like how God blessed Abraham with harvest and good wealth, but Abraham proved himself to be a good steward in his wealth, and that is why he is called a man of faith. And the farmer in this parable obviously was not a good steward, and he didn't even think about giving away the extra grains. Instead, he is selfish and he stored it up so that he can spend away, and God called him fool. This word fool sounds really harsh, but it's actually an evaluation of his life because he actually had a lot of presumptions about his life. He's assuming that he's going to live forever and in the future he can spend away a lot of money. But God said, you fool, because you didn't know that your life will actually be taken tonight. And why are you storing up everything, right? So he was living his life as though there was no God, because he didn't think about God can take his life. And, you know, he is storing up all this wealth for himself only, and he didn't think about other people. So in Psalm 14:1 says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, and there is no one who does good. So God calls the one who says there is no God in heart a fool. When we're not God-centered, we will be self-centered. There's no gray zone. Only God-centered and self-centered. Once you're not God-centered, then you are self-centered. And I feel like, you know, like maybe we will say we are not like that farmer. We're not that extreme. We're not earning a lot of money and store up. But selfishness is so easy, like it's creeping up on you anytime when you're not alert, you know? Like last Wednesday, I went to Shenzhen to activate my working visa. And on my way back, for some reason, I was just craving for the spring onion pancake, if you know, like chong yao bing. And I was like, oh, I really want to have that. And I was thinking like, for some reason, I don't know why, I just think Mong Kok has it. I don't know why. So I went to Mong Kok, and so I was discussing with Annette, like, oh, where do you think that have a good tong yao bing? And then she's like, I don't know, let's find out, and you will tell me, right? And I was like walking, and then I passed through this woman, this granny who was sitting on the floor twice when I was fighting my chongyaobaeng. So, and then the Lord suddenly said to me, will you give some money to this lady to bless her today? Because it's really cold and she is wearing like really thin clothes. And I was like, okay, God, so how much should I give? And then he said, as much as you can. And I'm like, dang, that's very difficult. So I'm like, okay. So I took out my wallet and I was like counting. I was like, maybe I should leave some money for my chongyaobaeng. And then I leave my money for chongyaobaeng. And I gave the money that I calculated for her. And then I walk away. And then I walk for such a long time, I couldn't find my chongyaobaeng at the end. And I feel like a fool when I was standing at the bus stop waiting for my bus to get back home. Because I couldn't help wonder, like, if I'm really, really giving her, like, more, maybe it's a good witness to her, you know? I don't know. But I just feel like I really was not giving because there's selfishness in me that I want to satisfy my own craving first. And it's just a little story that I reflected when I was meditating on this. I just want to point out the points that it's really easy. Like, it's not about a big amount or a big thing or anything, like big amount that you come across during workplace or anything, but it's really about daily routine, every day. And also, I think God Jesus doesn't mean that we can't save up the money for future planning, but I think it's really about stewardship, like how you really steward your money and how you really, there's a difference between proper stewardship of money and also storing up money so that we can live a luxurious life, you know? So, and also there is also another difference between proper stewardship of possession and to possess out of fear, which is the third warning from Jesus. So the third warning from Jesus is to possess out of fear. In verse 22, he said that, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. And here Jesus also used a few illustrations of like ravens and lilies in contrast to the rich farmer in the previous text. And ravens, actually, in the ancient Israel, I think, it's a unclean animal. So it's like least of least. But he's saying that God clothed them too and God feeds them. So how much more valuable are we than the ravens? And so to possess out of fear, I think because I just graduated from my PhD program in school, and actually I'm not officially graduate, but it's like a gray zone. It's like I'm not student anymore, but I'm not able to work yet because I didn't get my certificate. So I'm like, okay. So since December, I was not working. But then God told me to wait because he said, I'm going to give you something else and you just have to wait. So I'm like, I have peace. Okay, no problem. So I'm like, okay. So I'm waiting for God, but at the same time, I'm also finding other job opportunities. And then everything was just like all the doors were just closed. The thing that I wanted to find, and I was like searching, but all the doors was closed. And then at the end, what God promised came through. And I was like, okay. I feel like I really, although I said that I trust God so much, I wanted to, and I had peace, but still, out of my fear, I still keep going to find something. I didn't find a lot, but it's just one or two. But it already shows something inside of me, you know? And also in Psalm 127, God says that in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I'm very certain that everyone has the experience of rolling in bed, worrying about something. Perhaps it's not just about what to eat or what to wear tomorrow. Maybe you're worrying about the bills to pay, and you know, anything that is on your mind. Is there anything in our life that made us sleepless at night, that you're worrying about something? For example, work, children, your marriage, relationship, or anything, family. If there are things that you assume that you will be happy once you have it, for example, I will be okay if this person just leave this company. I'll be okay if I work somewhere else. I'll be okay if I get married. I'll be okay if my children just behave a little bit better. I'll be okay, like, a lot of stuff, you know? If you assume that, I encourage you to talk to God about it today and combine his opinion into the matter. Because it's very likely that you may get this thing through. Like, maybe your children will behave a little bit better today. Or this person will leave the company, but you will still remain unhappy if God is not in this thing with you together. And at the end, I think Jesus gave us a solution to these three wrong motivations in just three simple lines. First, he said, seek his kingdom first and all this thing will be given to you as well. Second, do not be afraid. So he's comforting us first. He said, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I think a lot of people has the mentality about how God is angry with us. Like he's not willing to bless us. But it's not that he is not willing to bless us. It's just that our heart is not there, not ready for him to receive the blessings, you know. And then third one is to sell your possessions and give it to the poor. And I think sell your possessions is really like against the greed, because once you sell it, you're not greedy. And give it to the poor is against selfishness. So if I can invite Chanala to come. Let's just worship God today, and during the worship, let's just think about if there is anything that is that you're worrying about right now. Because actually God said this only to the disciples. He said to the disciples, don't be worried. Don't worry about anything. So if there's anything that worries you right now, let's just talk to God and ask him to give his perspective to us about the thing that we're worrying about. And combine his opinion into the matter. And surrender all to him. Let's just shift also from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Let's just meditate on what God said in this passage. And let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for everything that you have said in this passage, that you don't want us to worry and you really want us to be happy, and you want to bless us with your presence, and you want to give us yourself and not all the blessings, all the wealth, and all the other things are the bonus, are the blessings that you gave us. And God, I just pray for all my brothers and sisters here to be a good steward of everything that you gave into their life. And God, help us to shift our mindset and mentality from self-centered to God-centered. And also, God, if there's anything that worried us right now, God, I just pray that during the worship you help my brothers and sisters to explore it and dig it out and surrender under your feet. Thank you, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
More beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
So let's just meditate today on how valuable God is, how He didn't calculate and come to the world and just die for us, die for our sin, and to save us, to really free us from all this greed, selfishness, or fear. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that true love casts out all the fears. So let's pray for ourselves today. Let's pray that there will be no fear in anything. There will be no worries. Let's pray to God. Turn to our mission focus today. So let's pray for our community. A lot of brothers and sisters in our community, their family or relatives are suffering from cancer and went through chemotherapy and transplant. Just lift them up right now. Thank you. most of all, let's pray also for salvation to happen to our brothers and sisters' family, and let's pray for healing, and most of all for us to be a good witness for them, to let them feel God's love, that they will be able to come and get closer to God. I know we've been praying a lot for all the healings and stuff, and let's take another step this morning. Let's just pray in Jesus' name to cut all this diseases and cancers and the enemy attacks on the brothers and sisters' family. Let's just cancel it right now in Jesus' name, and just ask that God really bring full healing. We pray in faith a complete healing to people, physically, spiritually, and mentally. Just pray with authority right now in Jesus' name. And also let's lift up all our brothers and sisters who are searching for a job. Let's pray that they will not be discouraged at this time or feel like God is like away from them. But in contrary, let's pray for them to get closer to God, and knowing that God's timing will come at the right time, that God is going to provide for everything they need. And just pray that they will really listen to today's EMP, and then it will strike something in them, that they will know that God is a God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide, and He knows all our needs. Let's just leave them up right now. Thank you. have the next light? Okay, let's turn to this today's mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, for Chris and his community. And let's also pray for South Korea for the future plan, future church plan. And also let's lift up Japan for the pastors there. And also let's pray for Samuel here, who is here today. Let's lift up Japan and Korea to God right now. Let's pray for IP, the prayer ministry in our church. They're really interceding for they're carrying a really heavy weight of the church. They're praying for the whole church, the congregation. And let's pray for the well, the Cascade team, and also for the hospitality ministry for welcoming and barista, for them to have a smiley face on Sunday, so that people will come in to our church and will feel welcome. And let's lift them up to be strong, bonding, relationship, and also fellowship in God. Next, please leave up Hong Kong Korean Church for Pastor Choi, and also for spiritual growth and unity in the church. And also, if you can, also leave up the pastor who wrote the devotion today, Dan Williams, who is the senior pastor of the International Baptist Church of Hong Kong. And pray for his wife, Anita, and three children, Clay, Anna, and Nathan Daniel. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray that these two churches, this particular two churches, Hong Kong Korean Church and International Baptist Church, to be the lights on the hill for everyone in the Hong Kong. And also they will reach out to more people, not only in Hong Kong, but also will overflow to China and even other places that God wants them to go. Let's pray. Next, let's lift up the house church that are meeting tonight, Elements and Conduit. Let's just pray for God to come mightily on them, via them, through them. And let's just pray for everyone in these two house churches can feel God's love tonight. According to the theme that Peace and Preach on Sunday, let's pray for the whole house church, as a house church, as a community, as a body, can feel God's love together, hand in hand. Let's pray for them. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. God, we just kneel before you and we just ask that you really help us to do a heart check in the things that we possess right now. Is there anything that is there any greed? Is there any selfishness in us? Is there anything that we want to possess out of fear? God, reveal to us and heal us, restore us, so that we can be a good steward to all the blessings that you bless us with. God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters that when we go to the workplace today, we will remember what we heard this morning, and maybe we will share it with someone. God, just ask that you, your presence to be strong with my brothers and sisters today, and bless them with a good day of work or any activities they are doing. Father God, we just want to also encounter love with you. God, just ask that you show yourself and show that, God, you are love, and you want to also bless us with this tremendous love that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Encourage you to enjoy your prayer time and also have a good day. See you tomorrow.